Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hey, great to be with you guys here today. So my name's Chris. My wife Peggy and Anna over there, as Pastor Paul had introduced. We are U.S. missionaries here in the United States. A lot of our ministry is with Native Americans. And let me share you a little bit about what we do. So back a couple of years ago, we were invited to Arizona to do ministry. I spent many years in the building trade as well as a missionary and in ministry. So just 2 years ago, we combined all of that with the Arizona Ministry Network was looking for someone who understood the building trade and knew it, and also had worked with Native American ministries for a number of years, and which we had done for about 20 years, and I was in the building trade ever since I was a teenager. So they invited us out, and what we're doing is we're doing a lot of projects on the reservations. We bring teams in, teams from different churches across the country that want to do a missions trip, and they'll come and they'll help us either renovate a building or do a small renovation from painting to minor repairs or major work. Sometimes we'll build a brand new church, or we'll gut an existing one and renovate it completely. So that's the kind of ministry we're doing. And while we're there, we also do other various outreaches. Some teams will do kids outreach. Some want to do youth outreach. And we're doing all kinds of different evangelistic stuff. Sometimes we'll set up a tent and maybe do preaching each night while the project's going on. So it's a ministry that I've kind of had a dream about back in 2002 when I was out in North Dakota. And God put this on my heart to lead teams to build churches or renovate them and do evangelistic ministry while that was going on. And it was 20 years later that ministry came to be. And I had a young guy he was from Chi Alpha, matter of fact, down in Arizona. He said, "Hey, Chris," he goes, "why did it take so long for you to get to that ministry?" And I said, "Well, it was probably me." I said, "It was probably God took 20 years to shape me and get me ready for what he wanted me to do." And that's a lot of pressing and stretching and going through challenges and struggles of life, getting me ready to do the ministry that he called me to do. And then finally he said, "Okay, now you're ready." And sometimes God does that kind of stuff, doesn't he? He'll get us ready. And you know, God's patient with us. He really is. I really don't think time, I mean, what's the Bible say? A thousand years is one day, and one day is a thousand years to God. I'm glad he didn't wait 1,000 years to get me ready. Hallelujah. And it didn't take me one day either. So it took a journey in my journey with the Lord to get me ready for what we're doing. And we love what we're doing. It's challenging at times. It's tiring at times. You can talk to my wife. She'll say I put in 60 to 80 hours a week. And I was hoping to maybe cut back my hours when I went into this ministry, but it didn't work. We still put in a lot of hours, a lot of traveling, and we have a lot of projects going on. So right now on our schedule, we've got 12 Native American projects that need to get filled between now and 2025. And not only that, so when we got out to Arizona, we were there for about a half a year, and then Springfield, the leadership there, had said, "Hey, will you head up our RV volunteers as well to do the projects throughout Arizona?" So, of course, God had been speaking to me about it prior to that, and he said, "Take 2 days to pray about it." And I said, "Well, Billy Thomas is a leader in our ministry. It's also with Pastor Paul and Patty's leader as well. We're in the same department." And I said, "Well, God already been speaking to me about it. We will accept it." And so we head up the RV volunteers. So RV volunteers, if you're not familiar with what they do, is a group of men and women who donate their time. Some of them, it's around yearly. They'll just go to project. Some of them will take several months out of the year and do projects. But they'll go in, they'll take their RV, they'll set up on a project, and they'll stay there oftentimes from start to finish, helping renovate a building or a brand new building that's starting up. So we got a lot of those too that are happening in Arizona as well. So we get the privilege of working with them as well as working with teams doing these projects. And it's exciting when you see a project get finished the joy on a pastor's face when they finally see their church fixed up, when it's falling apart and getting it back in shape, and all along this ministry going on, other ministry going on along that. So those are some of the things that we do. We get to travel and preach as well. We get to preach on the reservations and minister on the reservations. We love doing that. We get to help out other churches sometimes doing evangelistic stuff, tent meetings, or just visiting their church and doing ministry. And we love what we do. And it's exciting ministry, seeing the kingdom of God advance. So one of the models of our department is building churches, changing lives. And our hope is this. As we're there helping out the local pastor, getting their ministry established and helping out with some of the physical needs and spiritual, that we'll see the kingdom of God advance in these churches, in these communities. And some of them are hard to reach areas. Some of our native areas are very hard to reach with the gospel. But there are men and women there who've planted themselves there, bringing the gospel to people who are in need. And that's awesome. Amen. So that's just a little bit about our ministry, of what we do. Keep us in prayer. We go out and pray, and we have to raise funds. It's too, just like any other missionary. But God is faithful to provide for us, and we always looking for more teams. So I'm actually talking with Pastor Paul about maybe a future project that we can work out that will work. And we work with every team who wants to do something special with their evangelistic part. And we help with that and kind of tweak that a little bit to work with that team and fit that in so that while there's some renovation or some type of project going on, there's evangelistic work and outreach working with the local people on the reservation. So be praying about that. We'll be praying for you guys. And I just want to say, hey, I'm excited to be here. We were here 2 years ago. And things have changed here. This is awesome. I mean, walls are coming down. Hallelujah. I mean, we're seeing some cool stuff. I mean, this is amazing. So I'm excited this morning. I just want to let you know. And I got a message today that I want to bring to you that I believe God's put on my heart for you today. Now, you probably notice, as I say words like hot, in other words, you probably say, you don't sound like you're from Arizona or from around here. So I am not native to this area or to Arizona. I am a New Englander. I grew up near Boston, and I'm fully Italian. So you get a little bit of that mix going in, and my speech might sound a little funny, but I think it's normal. But everybody else kind of sounds a little different to me, but hey, that's just the way it goes. All right, anyway. So hey, I want to share a message with you guys today. And it's on healing. And I want to talk about healing faith. Healing faith. The thing I love about God is he's very direct with us what he wants from us. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I know already that a key element that God looks for is faith from us, his children. And so that's why I kind of tag this healing faith, because I believe God looks for faith in us when he wants to do the healing. And if you need a healing here today, we're going to cover four areas of healing today, but I want to read a portion of scripture, and I believe faith is going to get activated in us today to receive what you need, or maybe to someone that you know that needs healing, that God may be using you or going to use you for, to pray for them to receive their healing. And God's going to give you that faith to pray for them for their healing. So I want to read a portion of scripture out of Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. It says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let's pray. Father, right now we just pray, Lord, as we dig into your word and as we share what you've laid on my heart, Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified, that you would prepare our hearts to receive from you, Lord, what you desire to do today in this house, at this time, in this moment of history for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this scripture verse, there's some promises here. It tells us that demons will be cast out. That's exciting. There's an anointing that God's placed on us that demons will be cast out for those we pray for. And you might say, are there still people today that can have demons in them? I will say with a full assurance, yes. There are still people that are walking around today that have not just oppressed and suppressed, but literally possessed by demonic forces. I've seen them, and I see them regularly, unfortunately. It says here that they'll speak with new tongues, and he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if there's ever a day in history that we need the fresh anointing and baptism of the Holy Spirit for God's church, it's today. And if you're not familiar with the baptism, it's an infilling of a saturation of God's Holy Spirit, and the evidence will be you'll begin to speak in another tongue as the Holy Spirit. It's not something you make up. It's not something you learned. The Holy Spirit will give it to you when he comes upon you. Then it says that no serpent or poisonous thing can harm you. Praise God. And then the sick will be healed. These are some wonderful promises for the church and for God to work through us to touching the world around us. Now, unfortunately, today many of God's children walk around daily with battle wounds from life's journey. Whether it's physical need or emotional scars or spiritual wounds, many people carry these throughout their life, and God all along has provided restoration for those who desperately need it. The reality is none of us are exempt from the troubles and trials or the turmoil that we experience in life's journey, right? Come on, we all go through things. I can pretty much just looking around say every single one of us, no matter how young or old, we experience things that we wished we didn't have to experience, but God has allowed for us to experience for a purpose, for his glory. Now, I've heard some people say, hey, when I know this, that these ailments in my body or the emotional things I've gone through, it's my cross to bear in this life. Now, and they'll say this too, it'll all be taken care of when I get up into glory. Now, there's some truth to that, because the Bible says there's no pain in heaven, right? You read that in Revelations. There's no more crying, no more sickness, no more diseases, no more of that. But listen, what if God wants to heal you right now? What if God wants to bring deliverance right now? What if God wants to heal something emotionally in you right now from some scars that have happened maybe years and years ago, but you've been carrying around for a long time, and God wants to just cut that off and heal it today? See, I believe God wants to do that today in your life. He knows you're here. He knows what you've experienced. He knows what you've gone through. Matter of fact, I know God's got you on his radar. He knows you by name. He knows you're sitting here today waiting and listening. And I believe he's going to touch you and meet you today. There are examples in the Bible where there are people so desperate for a touch of God, they did everything they could to reach God, and they would not give up until they got what they received from God. I want to ask you something today. How desperate are you today for your healing or for someone you know's healing that needs to take place? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a parent or a sibling. Someone you know, or maybe it's personal, it's right there in your life, and you know what? I am ready today to receive from God what I need. Today's my day. I say all that to stir your faith. Let faith begin to get stirred up in you, because I believe God wants to touch you today. I believe it with all my heart. Now, Jesus in his ministry while he was here, as he walked during his 3.5 years of ministry, the Bible says this, that he healed the sick, the diseased, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the mute, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, calming storms, feeding multitudes, all the while preaching the gospel to the poor, healing brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to captives and deliverance to those who are bound. And I believe it has not changed in 2,000 years. I love what it says in Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus says this to his disciples and gives them authority. And by the way, you're his disciples, and so on I. He says this, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease, every kind of sickness. And he gave that authority to them. And I believe God's given that authority to you and me today. You are his disciple, and he has anointed you and called you with a holy calling. So this morning, I want to talk about four areas of healing. Number one, the first one is this. God wants to heal the brokenhearted. In Isaiah 61:1, it says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Then he follows up by saying, proclaim liberty to captives and opening the prison to those who are bound. But Jesus came specifically for the brokenhearted. One of the reasons why. In Matthew 12:20, he says, a battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. See, I believe when we're wronged, and when people have wronged us, it hits our heart. And that's why he says at the end of that, I will lead justice to victory. Because we serve a just God. And he makes wrongs right. Do you know he wants to do that for you in your life? And how does he do that? Well, sometimes he'll just come in and heal your heart of what's been done to you in the past. Or what's been said about you. So if you're sitting here today and you feel like you've been like a battered reed, you're about ready to break, and you're like, I don't know if I can go on. I feel like I'm going to crumble. Or maybe you're like a candle and it's about ready to go out. God's not going to put you out. He's not going to snuff you out today. Matter of fact, he's going to light your candle so you're burning bright, because that's what he's created you to do. And he's going to restore you and heal you. I can say with confidence, if you're here today and you've experienced times when people have hurt you, said all kinds of evil against you, betrayed you, gossiped, maybe even slandered your name, that Jesus wants to minister to you today and bring healing in to your life. I believe this, the closer you get to Jesus, the more the enemy hates that. And he will attack. And he will try to chop you down and cut you down so that you lose that confidence that you have in Christ. So we know this, that the enemy will attack at times. And we know the enemy uses the world because they're at his disposal. He'll come and he'll attack and he'll try to oppress and suppress us with the world, with its systems and with all the stuff. But I want to tell you today that we have victory over all that, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. But sometimes he'll use people, the enemy will use people that he'll work through that might be even close to us. People we care about. People that we may have even sat next to in church at times. People that may have compromise in their lives and have not allowed God to deal with sin or unbelief in their heart, or maybe they might have unforgiveness, or maybe even judgment towards others. See, when that kind of stuff is going on, it opens the door for the enemy to slip in and to unfortunately use people to say or do evil things against others. And I want to tell you something. God wants to heal you from such things that's happened. And through my years, I've talked with people in different churches who have been hurt by other people that they knew that they went to church with. Now, I'm not dissing church. I love church. We're here in church today. God loves his church. It's us, his people. He cares about us. But unfortunately, sometimes bad things happen. Or things that shouldn't have been said did get said. And God all along knows that, but all along he wants us to forgive those who have done evil against us. That's what Jesus did, right? And we've got to get that same heart and that same thinking in us as well. So listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 55. He said, "For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng." So it's those who are close to us that can literally wound the heart. An enemy does not wound your heart because you expect the enemy to attack you, right? The enemy's not going to hurt your heart. He might try to attack the outside, the flesh, this outside part, but it's that inner part when those close to us who wound us, and that's when the heart can be broken. And I believe God wants to heal that. I know some of you have had friends that were close to you, and they're not close to you anymore because they've wounded you and you've separated. And it's hurt your heart. And you walked away broken. And you thought, how could this have happened to me? How could this, someone so close to me, have done this to me? And then I'll flip it the other way. Maybe you, because none of us are perfect. Maybe you've said something against somebody. And you thought afterwards, oh my goodness, I wished I had never done that or said that. Someone who I loved, and I said something I shouldn't have. God wants to heal you too and bring healing in that situation as well. Because that's the God we serve. He heals on both sides of it, doesn't he? Because he cares about us. Now, Bible says in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So, if people are saying evil against you and saying doing all kinds of things they shouldn't be doing, you're in good company. You're with the prophets. Hallelujah. That's a good place to be. Because so they persecuted those who were before you and me. But I want to tell you something. God knows it. He sees it. And he wants to heal it. And Jesus is encouraging us, his church, today to rejoice when those kind of things are going on in our lives. Hey, even Jesus himself experienced betrayal from friends who were very, very close to him. Think of Peter. In Matthew 26:34, the Bible says that Jesus talking to Peter, he says, "Truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." That's betrayal. Peter says, "I don't even know who this guy is." He was walking with him for 3.5 years, laying his hands on the sick, healing them, listening to the preaching of Jesus, seeing Jesus feed multitudes of people. And all of a sudden Peter turns around and says, "I don't know this guy. What happened? Why would he betray him?" Because fear gripped his heart. Fear will cause us to do crazy things. And here it caused Peter to deny someone he loved very much. And then there was Judas Iscariot. In Luke 22:48, Jesus says this, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" We know Judas's issue. He loved money in the lust for it. Now notice something about both these guys. They both went out with remorse. It says Peter went out and he wept after he did it. It says Judas went back to the priest and threw the money in there and says, "I don't want this. I did wrong." But notice only one of them had true repentance. Because we see Peter get restored, and we know what happened to Judas. He went out and took himself out. because he didn't understand the forgiveness and the love of God. Because I believe if he had truly repented, he would have been restored. Because that's how our God operates. So the difference was in the heart. When a person is betrayed, it affects their spirit too. And it's here that the spirit can get torn, because it goes deeper than the heart and the flesh. Trust is broken. The wounds go deep. And only God can mend such wounds. Which brings us to number two. God wants to heal, or he wants to mend the torn spirit in our lives. Because once the heart is broken, the spirit can begin to get torn, and it affects us. And if that is not properly dealt with, when we're having spiritual issues in our lives that have, because of the attacks that have hit our heart, something can begin to happen. Bitterness can set into our lives. And bitterness is like a cancer that will infect every area of your life. It changes the way you think, how you process things people may say to you. Then unforgiveness can take root, and left undealt with will begin to affect your spirit and your walk with God. So God knows when we take hits like this in our lives that we've got to deal with them and let the Holy Spirit, let God work in our lives. The heart of flesh, once tender in the hand of God, can begin to get hardened and callous if we don't let God heal the areas that are deep within our lives. We've got to have a heart of forgiveness. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. That is a powerful scripture. If we don't forgive, neither will God forgive us. You mean if somebody comes up and calls me an idiot, or someone who's close to me and is talking, you know, trash about me, and everybody else doesn't want to talk to me? I've had that happen. I've had some close friends, ministers, who stop talking to me because of a situation in my life. And I'm thinking, man, I had this one person as I was in missions, and I said to me, Chris, we will only support you because you were part of this district. We don't think that ministry, what you're doing, was worth supporting, but because the superintendent asked us, that's why we're supporting you. But now that you're leaving the district, we're not supporting you anymore. And I'm thinking, you want to talk about, and that was the pastor's wife said that to me. She was the head over the mission. And I thought, man, I started to get a little bit bitter. And I'm thinking, you only support me because you don't think I'm a real missionary, because I'm a missionary to Native Americans? Man, that hit me in the heart. I carried that around for a couple of weeks, and I thought, and then it went into a month, and I thought, I refuse to be held down by this. I forgive her, Lord. Amen. I forgive her. She didn't know what she was saying. She didn't understand the intensity of this ministry and understand what we do. I forgive her. Now, I want to tell you something. It came back again. Do you ever forgive somebody and all of a sudden it comes back at you, and you're like, oh, man, I forgive him again, God. So that happened a few times. And now I can say I forgive her. If I saw her today, I'd give her and her husband a big hug and tell them I love them. Because I do. I do. And I believe it's just... And you know something? God worked that in my life. Chris, are you still able to forgive those who you know and you even fellow minister together? Walked in the throng together and worshiped? And I did. I went there to their church and preached a few times. Yeah, we got to forgive one another. And then our Heavenly Father will forgive me. Because you know what? I'm sure I know I've messed up a couple times. And I know I have to ask God to forgive me. And I know he has. Praise God. So listen to what God says to the prophet Ezekiel. I was doing a study in Ezekiel, and as I was looking in this portion of scripture in Ezekiel in chapter 36, and he's talking about the heart. And I looked at that and I thought, man, really, unforgiveness really is with the heart. It affects our spirit and all this stuff. And in Ezekiel, he says in verse 26, he says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So why is the prophet saying that? Well, in verse 25, before that, he says this. He says, "I will sprinkle you clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." So what's happening here? The world had affected the people of God. And whether we realize it or not, I mean, we're all being influenced every day by the world. Every time you pick this thing up right here, or you go on your computer, or you flip on a TV, or if you're driving down the highway and there's a billboard and some of them are filthy, if you drive across this country, you're being bombarded with filth and the mentality of this world. And it's trying to change us the way we think. And it can harden our hearts. And then the other reality is idolatry is alive and well today in our nation and around the world. And if I might even say, it's alive and well even within the church. You say, how come? Because we worship sometimes the things that we do. Even the work of our hands. Those are idols. Or we may desire something in this world more than we do and hunger after the things of God. Those material things. You read the 1 John, he talks about the love of the world and the things of it. We've got to be able to begin to separate from that. And I know the world has a lot to offer. But God has so much more. That is way better. And that is eternal. So why is Ezekiel saying this? Well, he wants to change the heart. Begin to get it soft again. The result of idolatry had taken its toll on God's people. And it led to disobedience from God's word. And the heart can get hardened. And the spirit torn and separated from God. But listen to what God says to Ezekiel. In verse 36, chapter 36, 26 that we had just read. He said he's going to remove the heart of stone, bring and give a heart of flesh. And then in verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and will be careful, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." So listen, God says, look, I'm going to be active in this. I'm going to cause you, I'm going to put my spirit within you. I can remember the day of salvation in my life, 30-something years ago. Something changed in here, and God put his word here. The things that I used to do, all of a sudden, I didn't read the word, didn't know the word, but all of a sudden I knew that something that I was doing wasn't right. I found it later in the Bible as I was reading it. And I'm like, oh, that's why I feel that inside my heart, God, that this thing is wrong to do. Because God put his spirit there and said, Chris, this is not healthy. This is not good. But then he gives us a little bit of responsibility too. He says, but you be careful to observe my ordinances. So God gives us his commands. And he tells us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus said that. If you love Jesus, you'll do what he says. And it'll go well with you and me. And our heart that might be starting to get a little callous and a little hard because of the influence of the world, God will begin to soften again and bring healing. This is all healing stuff, you guys. It's all stuff that God wants to bring healing. It's not just the physical, though we will get to that. But this is some of the depth of the heart, the spirit. And then thirdly, God wants to restore the soul. The soul of man can literally become broken down and not be useful as the way God intended it to be. See, the word restore means to bring back, to return someone or something to a former condition or a place or position. It also means to repair or renovate so as to return it to its original condition, or to give something previously stolen or taken away or lost back to its original. Can I say this, that the devil wants to steal the soul of people. He wants to try to take what God had intended it to be. As I shared a little bit earlier, we do a lot of restoration in the natural. And when I go through some of these reservations and off the reservations, different buildings, I see them falling down and falling apart. And I look at the condition of them, and oftentimes what's going on in the natural is a direct result of what's been going on spiritually. When I see broken down buildings falling apart, leaking, the roof leaking down, and just everybody's, the churches are falling apart. And I was just in a building that we literally had to go in and gut it because it smelled so bad. I'm thinking, how can this building smell and stink so bad? I come and find out the pastor's there, and I'm talking with him, and he's outside smoking a cigarette. The pastor of the church. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I said, Am I here at an Assemblies of God church or what? So, you know, things can happen. Things can break down. Even in ministers' lives. God wants to heal such people. God wants to bring restoration in their lives. The building was falling apart, but so wasn't the people. And I believe God still wants to heal them. So we get this awesome privilege of going in and start fixing up. But all while we're there, we not just only fix the buildings, but we're there to minister to every single person we encounter at those churches we're fixing up. And when teams come, they're doing the same thing. They're ministering to kids, to adults, and even the pastor who's gotten discouraged sometimes because they haven't had help for years, or the resources or the finances. Because some of these places, some of these native reservations I'm on, the finances are so little, they can barely keep the place up and running. And then God uses churches to come in and help. And I think that's awesome. Because aren't we there to help one another? Isn't that what the body of Christ is for? We're there to help each other. I love what it says in Acts. I don't know where it was in Acts, but it says that some who had lands, they sold their possessions, and they went out and gave to those in need. And it said that nobody was in want, but everyone had their needs met. And I'm kept paraphrasing, of course. But I thought, you know something, aren't we like that in the local church when we go and help out our brothers and sisters who are been suffering for years because they just don't have the funds in needy areas? We do it overseas sometimes, but we have it happening right here, not even right here in the United States. And I love when I see my fellow brothers and sisters come from all different states, and they converge and come in and say, we want to help our other brothers and sisters that we've never met before, but we've been praying about this project, and we're here to help our brothers and sisters. Man, I get to watch that. And I get blessed by seeing that happen. And I see the kingdom of God advance in that. And this healing that takes place in that. Hallelujah. Now listen to what it says in Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, the psalmist realized that it was God who restored the soul. And it's really, he's the one who restores us. And while he's at the restoration process, he guides us in paths of righteousness. Why? Because God wants to be glorified through your life. When the world looks at you and me, some of them know what you've gone through. Some of them have seen you, maybe at your worst. I remember years ago, I was in my hometown. And I'll let you in a little secret in a minute, but I was in my hometown, and my next door neighbor, and the secret is this, he called me by my nickname, which I hadn't heard for years. He said, hey, Meatball. Don't tell everybody that was my nickname. But anyways, He said, how is it? And he knew who I was. He knew what God had done in my life. He knew I was now a minister. He says, how is it? He goes, you were the worst one in our community. You used to cause the most trouble. You used to wreck people's homes, their vehicles. You would always get in fights with everybody. He goes, you were the worst kid in our community. He goes, how is it that God got a hold of you and that you're like this person who follows God now? I says, I don't know, Peter, why God did that, but I just know this, that he can do it. He can take the worst and make it into better and make it into something that he wants it to be. God just came into my life one day. Isn't God do that kind of stuff? And when the world sees that, it's not for my glory, but it was for glory for God. I said, it was God who did it, not me. I was just a candidate to receive. And all I did is say, yes, God, I'm a wicked person and I need you. And God transformed me. And I could tell you all the kinds of stories of what I was, but I won't go down that road today. But God healed and he brought restoration. Now, Jesus says this in John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what God's purpose is in this healing process. He says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, there's no compromise and no negotiating with God. He just says it straight up. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I've asked you to do. So if you're in the Word and you're reading the Bible and you see what it says and you know you're falling short in an area, ask God to help you. He wants you to follow his ways in that area. And isn't it awesome? I don't know about you, but I've read through the Bible many, many times. And when I open it up still to this day, something will jump out at me. I'm like, whoa, Lord, I need to implement that in my life. I need that still in my life. Because God's faithful. He loves us too much to leave us just the way we are. Matter of fact, I believe this. The same way you walk, the way that you walked in here today, he doesn't want to leave you that way. He wants you to walk out of this place completely different, or at least different in at least one area of your life. Because that's the God we serve. He loves you that much. That he wants to bring transformation and change and healing. Now, lastly, God wants to heal your body. Now, I know we're all here today and we all look fairly healthy, but all of us could, there could be every single one of us in this room could have something physically that ails us. It could be with our heart, it could be with our spirit, it could be with our soul, but there could be physical healings as what needs as well. Now, there are 37 miracles that are recorded in the Gospels of whether it's deliverance or healing that Jesus performed while he walked for those 3.5 years. But I want to just read a story here as I wrap up in Mark chapter 2 of an incident where Jesus brings healing to a person's life. So let's read this. Says this, that he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many received them. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing in a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But he immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. Said, all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Again, God is glorified. I believe the purpose for all healing, ultimate, is for him to be glorified. Yes, we're recipients of that healing, but his ultimate is for him to be glorified. And I want to look at one key element here in this story. It can be easy to overlook. It says, Jesus saw their faith. God always responds to faith. If you got faith here today, God's watching and he's looking. He's going to respond to that faith in your life. And you say, well, what if I'm struggling with it? Well, there was a man who brought his son who was demon-possessed to Jesus. He said, if you believe, I can heal him. And he says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So God will even help that. And his Bible says that Jesus healed that young boy right at that very moment. Now, I love it says that Jesus saw their faith for a reason, because I believe this guy who was a paralytic, he had some men around him, some people around him that were people of faith. They said, we are going to get our friend to Jesus no matter what. Do you have that kind of faith today? To someone you know, you're going to say, I'm going to get them to Jesus no matter what it costs me. They may not like me. They may hate that I'm even trying to reach out to them. They may hate that I'm even sharing the gospel with them. But God will give you wisdom how to do it. But whatever you do, you're going to get that person to Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've got a lot of people around me. Some of them don't have that kind of faith. Some of them may not even know Jesus the way I do. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have unbelievers around you. You need to have them around you because you need to reach them with the gospel. Jesus said, I don't want to take them out of the world, Lord, but I'll ask you to keep them in it. God wants to use you wherever you are, whether it's at school, at work, in family, friends, community. He wants you to reach those around you with the gospel. But I encourage you, you may have them around you, and God wants them around you so you can reach them, but surround yourself with people of faith also. Those need to be your closest, closest friends. And as you grow to be a person of faith, gather others and surround others who need that as well. And you will see the miraculous. You will see a need and you will be desperate like these guys were. And you'll say, we're going to get them to Jesus no matter what. Even if we got to tear a roof apart to get them in. Now, I don't encourage you to tear Paul's roof apart, Pastor Paul's roof apart here. But bring him in the front door. Hallelujah. Whatever you got to do to get him in the house. To sit at the feet of Jesus. You'll see healing and miracles happen in their lives. Now, I just want to make a note of this story, too. Another note, secondly. Sin in our lives can hinder the healing that we so desperately need. But notice Jesus did not say first, you're healed, and then say, your sins are forgiven. But he did it the other way around. Because I believe the greatest healing for anyone in anything in our lives is to have our sins forgiven in our life. When your sins are forgiven, there's a great healing that takes place. That's the most important one. But then Jesus, to prove his point to the unbelieving religious that were there, he says that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And then it says, immediately he arose. And I love that in the scripture. When Jesus does something, Boom, it happens immediately. And I believe God can respond today just like that. Immediately, you can receive whatever you need today. See, when God forgives sin and brings healing to your body, soul, and spirit, He is glorified, and we are recipients of the restoration and all that we need. I believe God wants, our Heavenly Father wants a healthy, His children healthy. You're a child of God. He wants you and me healthy today. I believe He wants to heal every area of your life. Many within the body of Christ walk around daily with scars and wounds that our Heavenly Father wants to heal. He wants to heal you today. If you take a step of faith this day and say, Jesus, here I am. I need you. Don't let your thinking of like, man, what if I come up for this healing and everybody thinks I've got it together? Can I tell you something? Nobody's got it all together. If we would, we'd be with the Lord in glory right now. Hallelujah. Now, I know He's perfecting us. And we're all being perfected daily. But there's no shame in this room. If you need healing, it's available for you today. If you're sick, if there's disease, maybe you feel forgotten, maybe you've been betrayed by a friend, maybe your spirit's been torn and your soul needs to be restored, maybe you need healing in your body. I believe God wants to meet you. Now, you say, you share all these things. And I said, yes, because I've been one of those people who have needed every one of these areas in my life touched by God. I share to you as one who has received this, even as a minister of God, who's experienced every one of those areas. But God came in and brought healing to my heart, mended my spirit when I felt like it was ripped apart, restored my soul when I wanted to give up, and brought healing into my life. And I believe He's got that for you today too. I'm going to close with a prayer, and I'm going to turn it back over to Christian this morning. And if you have need today, I believe God wants to meet you. We want to pray for you. There's a few of us that will be praying if you need healing today. But I'm going to turn it back over to Him. But would you just bow your hearts with me for a moment? Father, today I believe that there are those in this room today that need a touch from you. I could see some of it in their eyes, Lord, as you allowed me to see. Because I know you're a God who cares for your children. And today could be the day that changes the course of history for every one of us today here, Lord. So, Lord, begin to work in our hearts and stir us. Let faith arise in this house like never before, God. Let our faith be nudged in such a way that says, I'm not leaving this spot until I receive my healing from God. I need you today to come through, Jesus. Amen.